642, 1320 WILS, a brand new initiative, the Michigan Thrive Initiative, being announced this week. It is a group of 40 local and statewide organizations supporting the idea of transforming some of Michigan's worst brownfield sites into exciting new developments. One of the groups is the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, LEAP. And Bob Trezise, the president and CEO of LEAP, joins us here on WILS. Thank you for being here, Bob.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Nice to talk to you.
Well, where does that term come from, the brownfield projects and so on?
Well, the Michigan Thrive Coalition is a very broad-based coalition, Republicans, Democrats. So the governor's been involved, a lot of economic development leaders. Yeah. And what we're trying to do is help communities be more competitive than we are now, to try to do really big transformational kinds of projects that really transform an entire space or place of a community. Okay. As an example, the power station project for accident fund downtown Lansing was a project we did years ago. And, you know, it took a very contaminated site and a building that was abandoned and falling down, a smokestack on it, and pollution going into the river. And we were able to preserve that building and build new buildings and build a new riverfront, new city market, new apartment buildings across the river, taking down a parking deck over a road that had created a, you know, kind of a tunnel that no one wanted to walk through anymore. But we couldn't do that project today. It was transformational. It changed all of downtown.
Why could you not do the project today?
We don't have the tools that were available then. Brownfield credits, historic credits, Renaissance zones, all of those tools are gone. And nearly every other state has those kinds of tools to help in really extraordinary circumstances where a project, a site, is extremely difficult to redevelop.
So remind us then, how did that happen that all those tools were taken away?
Well, there was decisions at the state level that you know, there's been arguments that economic development costs money instead of generates revenue. I think that there are a few tools that needed adjustments, and I would observe that probably we threw the baby out with the bathwater. Instead of being nuanced about what needs to go, what could be changed, and what needs to stay, it was all thrown out.
So how do we make sure we support these kinds of projects without wasting state money?
Well, I don't think it's the state money when we're adding, like the power station added hundreds of new jobs. It cleaned up a contaminated site, cleaned the river, provided a beautiful river trail that's used day and night, year-round, by all kinds of citizens from the entire region and state.
Yeah, but you said that the previous brownfield system, there were things that needed to be tweaked. What needs to change if we bring this back?
Yeah, no, what I meant by that is there were other incentives. For example, the film incentives were probably an incentive program that, you know, needed a lot of adjustment. And it was known as credits, and so the term credits got convoluted or attached to other incentives, and so they kind of
they killed the whole thing. Bob Trezise with us, president and CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership. Well, right now, what is the biggest project in the Lansing area that you like to put, if we could, brownfield money into?
Well, if we had this program, you know, it's very limited. You can only do a few a year across the state, and it would generate a lot of new revenue for the state and local communities and not cost the taxpayer any money. And an example of a project that we have is extremely complicated and difficult to figure out is the Red Cedar Renaissance project, for instance. And there's also, you know, perhaps a couple of East Lansing projects, maybe a couple more downtown Lansing. But the Red Cedar Renaissance project is one that it could really have significant impact on Lansing, East Lansing, Michigan State University, create 1,000-plus jobs,
a lot of people. What's holding the project up right now, then, that could be help with brownfield?
Well, there are extraordinary costs to it. It's in a floodplain. There's all kinds of techniques we have to use from an infrastructure standpoint to make the project possible. And there's just a lot of complexity to a project like that. Mm-hmm. And so this new tool would make that project more viable or easier to put together, but it's been languishing for several years. We want to get on with it and create jobs.
The economic impact on our area here in Lansing, if the Red Cedar Renaissance project were to move forward, what would that be? How would that help us economically?
Yeah, well, we're just actually completing an economic analysis about that, but we think that there could be, there'll be several thousand people living there. There could be, maybe 1,000 jobs. There'll be several hotels. Sparrow has announced that they're going to build a health center there that will be connected probably to a hotel, a nice main street with retail stores, a beautiful 22-acre park and a river trail. I mean, it'd be a global village. And we really have to think in Michigan about not only having the private sector create great jobs, but we have to have a great place around those jobs to attract talent. Mm-hmm. And that's another aspect why these kinds of projects like Red Cedar Renaissance are so critical. Now, is they're going to act like talent magnets.
What are the chances? I mean, we don't hear the governor talking about bringing any of these things back, of any of this returning and these projects moving forward.
Well, my understanding is the governor is supportive of this bill, and there's a broad coalition, Republican, Democrat. You know, it's a little old-fashioned. It's where a lot of people have gotten together, worked very hard for over a long time to put together a really sound piece of legislation that is very controlled. It's limited, but it could have big impact on job creation and placemaking in Michigan and make us even more competitive globally.
The group is, what is it called? The Michigan Thrive Initiative, right?
Coalition.
40
yep, Michigan Thrive.
Local statewide organizations. But you said only a couple projects would happen a year, right? So there'd be quite a line, I'm guessing, to get it.
Well, a few more would be allowed than that, but it is very limited. It's very controlled. There's enormous due diligence and process that's involved to analyze to make sure that the projects are a net revenue gain. Mm-hmm. Which they always are anyway, but we'll make sure that that's done and completed as part of a review process. So it's a very good bill, right. And it's going to allow us to build new places and bring in new business and create jobs and compete.
So with that, one last thing, Bob, without that, without Brownfield, do you think the Red Cedar Renaissance will just won't happen at all then?
Well, I don't think in this case and maybe other cases, it's not a matter of something happening or not, we don't know. Sometimes a project won't happen at all without these kinds of new tools that we need. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's the scale of a project. For instance, this particular project might need 30 full years to pay back the developer and the city for if bonds are involved. And if this tool is in place, we can shorten that TIF reimbursement a lot and get it back on the tax rolls for everybody in a lot sooner time frame.
Bob Trezise, President and CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership, LEAP, right here on WILS. Thank you, Bob.
All right, thanks.